Before we dive into today's episode, a quick but important note. The information shared in this podcast is for general educational and entertainment purposes only. We love sharing our insights, but please remember, this content does not constitute medical, health, or professional advice. Everybody and every situation is unique. You should always consult with a qualified medical specialist or healthcare professional before starting any new program, making lifestyle changes, or acting on any information you hear today. Your health is your responsibility, so let's keep it safe.
Welcome back to Living the Good Life, where we explore real-world travel for real bodies, adventures that are meaningful, doable, and full of wonder. Today, we're heading somewhere unexpected. The Great Lakes. Not the ocean, not the Caribbean, but a freshwater cruising region that's older than the pyramids and bigger than many countries.
And if you're thinking, wait, cruises? On the Great Lakes? Oh yes, not only do they exist, they've been around for over a century, and now they're having a major renaissance.
And I have always lived in a state with a Great Lake, so we're fairly familiar with them and have visited all five. So today, we're diving into the history, the ships, the cruise lines, the ports, and the surprising magic of these inland seas.
Let's start with the basics. The Great Lakes, Superior, Michigan, Huron, Erie, and Ontario. They hold 20% of the world's fresh surface water. That's wild.
And when I was in school, to remember the names of them, we remembered the word homes. Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, Superior. So we could get them all. And some people are really surprised when they see the Great Lakes. But we'll go into that a bit later. And they are enormous. Lake Superior is the size of Austria. Lake Michigan is bigger than Croatia. These are not ponds. You can look at them and think you're on the ocean. The lakes, these are inland seas with their own weather systems. And we can tell you up in our part of Michigan all about lake effect weather. They have their own weather systems, their own tides, even their own maritime culture.
And their own shipwrecks, thousands of them. The lakes have been major shipping routes since the 1800s, and storms here can be brutal. The most famous wreck is the Edmund Fitzgerald, lost in 1975 on Lake Superior.
Which is why lighthouses in this area are such a big part of the Great Lakes identity. In fact, Michigan, and this may be surprising to some people, it has more lighthouses than any other state.
And that sense of maritime history is part of what makes Great Lakes cruising so different. You're not just island hopping, you're time traveling.
Right, and there are so many interesting maritime museums along the coast of the lakes. Most of them have a different focus. Some focus on shipwrecks, others focus on trade, some on sports, and some on cargo, ferries, car ferries, moving railroads, etc. Cruising the Great Lakes actually goes back to the late 1800s when steamships carried wealthy travelers between Chicago, Mackinac Island, and Canadian ports.
By the early 1900s, the lakes had full-on floating hotels. Think chandeliers, ballrooms, and multi-day itineraries.
Then came the decline because highways, air travel, and even railways ended the big steamship era. For decades, Great Lakes cruising was mostly ferries and day boats.
But around 2015, everything changed. Expedition Cruise Lines realized the lakes were perfect for small ship, high-touch travel, and suddenly the region exploded.
I will say that it was the Germans, who Popeye Lloyd, who have been cruising the Great Lakes for 30 years. The Germans are still intrigued by these lakes. Today, the Great Lakes are one of the fastest growing cruise regions in North America.
Let's talk cruise lines, because this surprises people.
And right now, there are several players here. Viking has expedition style ships, the Octantis and the Viking Polaris. Pearl Seas Cruises, they've been coming here a long time. We often see the Pearl Mist docked in Mackinac Island. Victory Cruise Lines, they are a small ship classic cruising company. Of course, Hapag-Lloyd, the German cruise ship, still comes, and we have seen that in port several times. Also, new to the Great Lakes is American Cruise Line, which we've sailed with them before and totally enjoyed it. We did a Cape Cod cruise, and that was fascinating with lots of history. Water, sand, so some similarities really to the Great Lakes. And we are looking forward to sailing with them in the future, as well as with Victory. So we can do a comparison because each cruise line is different and the itineraries are also different. And there are some that don't cruise here regularly, but do make appearances.
These are not mega ships. We're talking 200 to 400 passengers tops. Some are under 200.
And that means the experience is intimate, quiet, and deeply destination focused. You're not going for the water slides. You're not going for the big shows. You're going for history, culture, and definitely scenery.
And accessibility is often better than people expect. Many of these ships are newer, with modern elevators, wider corridors, and accessible staterooms.
Plus, the ports are real towns. There aren't any giant cruise ship terminals, and that can make the experience easier for getting around and for travelers who want less chaos and more connection to the area. Let's start with the Crown Jewel, one of our favorite places. We try to go there, I'd say, every year. And that is Mackinac Island. Cars are not allowed. You get around by horse-drawn carriage or bicycles.
Or walking.
Or walking. And there are Victorian hotels. And one of the most popular things on the island is fudge. There's a fudge shop just about on every single corner of the island.
It's charming, but it's also historically important. The island was a strategic military post in the War of 1812.
And if you visit the fort, you will learn all about that, the Americans, the British, the French, the indigenous people. It's very interesting. They also claim the first state park in Michigan, although that's debatable. Some say the first state park's in Interlaken.
It also depends on the locals. Talk to the people here around Interlaken, and they're proud of their state park. And talk to people on Mackinac Island, and the same.
But that first state park was actually, at one point, the second national park in the country after Yellowstone. So it's all very interesting and worth exploring at the fort. Besides being a strategic military post, it also has a lot of scenery. You can bicycle around the island. You can visit our track. There are three different cemeteries. There's a lot of different things off of Main Street, which people often miss because they just stick to the one section in town, the commercial section, where you do find all those fudge shops.
If you do bicycle around the island, there's a road that goes right along the lake shore, and it's just a tad over 8 miles.
And you, of course, if you're a fan of the movie Somewhere in Time, you can find different sites where they filmed. And of course, there's things like coffee, tennis, nice hotels.
Especially the Grand Hotel.
Especially the Grand Hotel, which everyone knows. It has the largest porch
in the world.
In the world. So definitely worth a visit.
Let's go to Sault Ste. Marie, home of the Sioux Locks, one of the engineering wonders of the world. You can watch 1,000-foot freighters rise and fall between Lake Superior and Lake Huron.
It's surprisingly mesmerizing. I remember as a child that we would just go there and watch the ships, or they call them boats, we were informed, the freighters, go through the locks. And you could just watch them rise up, fall down, rise up, fall down.
And the visitor center is accessible and well-designed. Let's move on to Detroit. Right now, Detroit is having a moment. The Riverwalk, the Motown Museum, the revitalized downtown. It's a fantastic cruise stop.
And the Detroit Institute of Arts is a world-class museum. And surprisingly, if you don't know Detroit, many guests there are shocked by how amazing Detroit is because they think of it from the 1960s.
Cleveland is another sleeper hit. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the West Side Market, and a waterfront that's finally getting the love it deserves.
And a lot of Clevelanders don't really want to advertise how great the area is, but that's right on Lake Erie. It also has a world-class art museum and a lot of history as well. And it's easy to get around Cleveland. I think it has every type of sports team possible there. And it also has great food.
A major turnaround port and a cosmopolitan powerhouse is Toronto. Museums, neighborhoods, food, it's a perfect start. Museums, neighborhoods, food, it's a perfect start or end point. And the skyline from the water is gorgeous.
My grandmother came by boat to Toronto from England, and Robert's relatives immigrated to Toronto.
And we visited every summer while I was growing up. We stayed 2-3 months, and it was always something we looked forward to, and especially visiting the islands, Hanlon's Point, Center Island, Ward's Point, Ward's Island. You could walk from one island to another, and it was something we always looked forward to doing. We'd usually go there on the weekends, and we really liked going to Ward's Island. It was it tended to be less crowded. Center Island was very, very popular. And I loved the rest of Toronto, too. I liked walking up and down Yonge Street. The Toronto Museum was something that every summer I would visit.
And there's so much to do there. In fact, I grew up in Toledo, and Toronto was a major honeymoon destination because you could just drive up to Windsor, which is across the river from Detroit, hop on the train, and go to Toronto. And those were the hotels like the Seahorse and the little, non-fancy motels, which have now been torn down, and I think they've been replaced by condos. And Toronto has grown immensely. It has the second largest Italian population outside of Rome. And it also has, the second largest Portuguese population outside of Portugal.
My grandmother loved shopping in the Italian area, and I was always her pack mule. We would always go there once a week, and load up on all kinds of good food.
It's definitely worthy of a visit.
We'll be right back.
Another major turnaround port is Chicago. Architecture cruises, deep dish pizza, Millennium Park. Chicago is a destination all on its own.
That's for sure. And there are lots of museums there as well. The Aquarium, the Fielding Museum, which is a natural history museum, the Lakeshore.
Navy Pier,
which is where some of the Great Lakes cruises begin or end. And when you see the lakefront in Chicago or Toronto, you forget that you're not on the ocean.
Thunder Bay is a gateway to Indigenous culture, rugged landscapes, and the Sleeping Giant Provincial Park.
It's one of the most expedition-y type stops on the lakes. It's very far north on Lake Superior.
Somewhere that I've wanted to go for a long time and I haven't been is Georgian Bay and the North Channel. This is where the lakes feel like the Canadian wilderness. Pink granite, pine forests, and water so clear it looks tropical.
Yeah, I understand it's often compared to the fjords of Norway. It's also on my list to visit as well.
What makes Great Lakes cruising unique? Well, let's talk about the vibe, because this is not a Caribbean cruise.
Oh, it's so much quieter, more cultural, more nature-driven. You get historians, naturalists, and Great Lakes experts on board.
And the wildlife is underrated. Bald eagles, black bears, moose, sturgeon. Some of the clearest freshwater ecosystems in the world.
Yeah, it's amazing how clear the water is. And it's a really good place because it's so clear to see shipwrecks, especially those that are closer to shore. You don't have to go far out to see them.
And for travelers who want a big adventure without long flights, this is perfect.
Interestingly enough, most of the people who cruise the Midwest are not necessarily from the Midwest. And for me, the Midwest is synonymous with the Great Lakes. And I know some people call things that I call West or the Plain States, the Midwest, but I call them the Great Lakes States. We think of those waterways, the Great Lakes, as being something in our backyard. Maybe not as exotic as going to the Caribbean or Europe. But many of the guests do come from Europe because it's something very unusual for them, or from coastal areas of the U.S.
Before we wrap up, we want to talk about something that matters deeply to a lot of our listeners, accessibility. The Great Lakes region is surprisingly well-suited for travelers with disabilities, mobility limitations, chronic illness, or anyone who needs just a gentler pace.
Yes. And I want to say this clearly. You don't need to be adventure ready to enjoy the Great Lakes, although there is plenty of adventure in the area. These cruises are built around smaller ships, shorter walking distances, sometimes calmer waters, and don't just assume because it's not the ocean that the waters will be calmer. Remember what we said about shipwrecks, but don't worry about that either. Things have changed. there are real small towns instead of giant, chaotic cruise terminals with lots of traffic and people. In fact, one advantage of the Great Lakes cruises are they can go to places that the bigger ships never make it to.
Let's start with the ships. Most of the vessels sailing the Great Lakes are newer expedition ships, which means they were designed with accessibility in mind. Elevators that reach all passenger decks, wider corridors, accessible staterooms, and public spaces that aren't overwhelming.
And because they are smaller, you're not dealing with the half-mile walk from your cabin to the dining room. Everything is relatively close, and everything's manageable. And if you're a cruiser who suffers fatigue, pain, or mobility challenges, that makes the difference between I can't do this and I can absolutely do this.
The ports are another win. Many stops, like Detroit, Cleveland, Toronto, and Chicago, have flat, paved waterfronts, accessible museums, and easy transportation options.
Yeah, it's far different than going to Europe, for example, with its cobblestone streets, even smaller towns. Even the more nature-focused stops like Mackinac Island or Georgia Bay usually offer multiple excursion levels. One of the fun things to do on Mackinac Island, and a very popular option, is to take the horse-drawn carriage tour. And they do have some carriages that are accessible. You can choose that, the carriage ride, which will go to a scenic overlook or a short, accessible walking tour instead of a long hike. It's also very popular to go take a look at the Grand Hotel, maybe have tea there, or lunch, or a tour with the historian there.
Plus, the pace is slower. You're not rushing to beat crowds or sprinting to catch tenders. Most ships dock right at the pier, and disembarkation is calm and organized.
And I'll add this. For travelers who are newly disabled or navigating a body with disruptions, the Great Lakes can be a confidence-building region. You get the beauty and the adventure without the physical overwhelm. And you often have more time in port than you would on an ocean-going vessel.
It's travel that meets you where you are and still gives you something extraordinary.
So, who is this cruise perfect for? I would say they're good for travelers who love history, travelers who love maritime history, people who prefer small ships, travelers who might want cooler weather, but don't be fooled, it can get very hot in the Midwest, disabled travelers who want easier port days, people who want culture over crowds, and anyone who loves lakes, forest, maritime stories, lighthouses.
It's also a great multi-generational option. Grandparents, adult kids, teens, there's something for everyone.
The Great Lakes are a real gem, and probably for some people, a very surprising cruise destination. It's full of history, beauty, and stories that need to be told. And there's good food, very friendly people.
And if you've never considered cruising them, maybe this is your sign.
Thanks for joining Living the Good Life.
We will actually be sailing on the Victory 1 very soon. So when we return, and actually from the ship, we'll be doing some live reports to share the experience with you. We'll especially be checking out how accessible the ship is. And it's good news to me that in a photo of the interior of the ship, I did see a folded wheelchair there. So that's good news. And I already know we'll have a great time because of all the wonderful ports we're visiting. A few we didn't discuss were Escanaba in the Upper Peninsula and Milwaukee, which everybody knows Milwaukee, right? Beer and Harley's. So we'll see you next time. Until then, stay curious, stay adventurous, and stay open to what you could do.
Thanks for joining Living the Good Life.